You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print-impaired. Materials or items read on Ayers LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Michael Piotrasch. Welcome to another recording of articles from Popular Science magazine, a presentation of Ayers LA. This week's articles include, at 58 seconds, the Great Wall of China is 300 years older than we thought. At 4 minutes 40 seconds, emus might not be the world's dumbest bird after all. And finally, at 9 minutes 20 seconds, which body parts do humans not need? Let's get to it. This first article is from the Science Archaeology section and is entitled, The Great Wall of China is 300 Years Older Than We Thought, written by Andrew Paul, published February 20, 2025. New archaeological finds in Shandong Province revise the massive engineering feat's previous timeline. This article begins with a photo of an aerial view of the Great Wall of China surrounded by forests. Its caption reads, The archaeological find appears to include three separate construction phases. The Great Wall of China wasn't a single construction project, but rather a series of defensive and border fortifications linked over hundreds of years under the direction of multiple royal dynasties. Recent archaeological discoveries in the nation's Shandong province, however, have pushed back the engineering marvel's start date by about 300 years. The excavation project took place between May and December 2024 and encompassed roughly 1,100 square meters, 0.68 square miles, in Guangli, a village located in the Changjing district of Jinan. Using optically stimulated luminescence, OSL, along with carbon dating, researchers analyzed traditional artifacts as well as plant silica and human bones to better understand the scope of the Great Wall section's construction and what life was like at the time. Archaeological finds include roads, residential foundations, trenches, rammed earth structures, sloping banks, ash pits, and building walls erected during various stages of development. Zhang Su, project leader from the Shandong Provincial Institute of Cultural Relics and Archaeology, explained in a statement that the site appears to be divided into three phases. The first two are earlier endeavors, with 10-meter-wide walls, possibly dating as far back as the Zhou Dynasty, during the spring and autumn period, 1046 to 256 BCE, is the best preserved and highlights how more advanced engineering strategies allowed workers to expand walls as wide as 30 meters. Speaking with the Global Times earlier this week, Chinese Society of Cultural Relics member Liu Zheng described the discovery as, quote, the earliest known Great Wall in China, unquote. Archaeologists also found valuable information beneath the Great Wall itself, two residences from the Zhou Dynasty at the northern excavation area. Featuring square foundations and rounded corners, the remains are consistent with semi-subterranean homes of the time period and imply the region likely featured a tiny settlement prior to construction efforts, possibly related to defensive river positions. Finally, the project also matched evidence 1.5 kilometers north of the Great Wall to Pingyin City, a community mentioned in many ancient historical texts. Quote, the layout, location, and associated infrastructure of the Great Wall of Qi reflect the advanced military planning and strategic responses of the Qi state to external threats, unquote, Zhang explained, adding that, quote, its close connection to Pingyin indicates that the wall served not only as a defensive structure, but also played a strategic role in controlling key transportation routes, unquote. This next article is from the Environment, Animals, Wildlife, Birds section and is entitled, Emus Might Not Be the World's Dumbest Bird After All. Written by Laura Baesis, published February 20, 2025. studying big birds might shed light on dinosaur behavior. This article begins with a photo of a large bird with a long neck and black plumage, called an emu, walking around in nature. Its caption reads, "Paleognaths, like emus, ostriches, and rheas, are the closest living relatives to dinosaurs." The insult, bird brain, should probably be retired. Eurasian jays can pass the marshmallow test. Some species have, quote, culture, quote, and even extinct avians like the dodo were probably smarter than we previously thought. Large birds called paleognaths, the closest living relatives of dinosaurs, are considered more simple. However, a small study found that some large birds are also capable of innovation. They can solve a physical task in order to access food, according to a study published February 20 in the journal Scientific Reports. Paleognaths include emus and ostriches and can reach 9 feet tall and weigh upwards of 300 pounds. They are more known for their brawn than their brains and often rely on their running speed and kicking to defend themselves. Emus have been called, quote, the world's dumbest bird, unquote, for decades. While we know that other birds are effective problem solvers, not as much work has been done on other groups of avians. The more we study the same species repeatedly, the more we create an echo chamber of knowledge and create a false impression that other species are less intelligent, but in reality, they haven't been studied to the same level, unquote. Fay Clark, a study co-author and a comparative experimental psychologist at the University of Bristol in the UK, said in a statement. For this new study, the team worked with 3 paleognath species at Noah's Ark Zoo Farm in Bristol, emus, rheas, and ostriches. They designed the test to measure their ability to innovate or, quote, the use of pre-existing behaviors in novel circumstances or invention of novel behaviors, unquote. Testing innovation and its relationship with animal cognition is a common way for scientists to measure general intelligence. Based on previous research, the team designated a rotating wheel that had to be moved in the right way to align with the hole to get a food reward. Each of the 3 species was given the test in 10 sessions. There is an additional photo of a large bird called an emu that stands in the mud and completes a test with a rotary wheel. Its caption reads, "An emu taking part in the study." The emus were able to line up a hole with a food chamber and move the hole in the most efficient direction towards food 90% of the time. A male rhea used this same technique, but also created a second one. He rotated the bowl in the middle of the wheel until it fell apart. However, this particular group of ostriches did not innovate during these tests. Quote, "We classify paleognath innovation as low-level or simplistic, and it is certainly not as complex as the innovation we see in crows and parrots," unquote, said Clark. Quote, "However, it is still a very important finding. There were no reports of technical innovation in paleognaths before our study, and there was a prevailing view that they are dumb birds. Our research suggests that is not true and that technical innovation may have evolved far earlier in birds than previously thought," unquote. The team plans on conducting more cognitive research on paleognath birds. In order to make a fair comparison, the rotary task must be used on other bird species to assess both how they respond to the same problems and how they try to solve them. Quote, "The more we study paleognath birds, the more we can understand the broader picture of bird cognition," unquote, said Clark. Quote, "And because paleognath birds are the closest living relatives to dinosaurs, research might shed light on how dinosaurs behaved," unquote. This final article is from the Science Ask Us Anything section and is entitled, "Which Body Parts Do Humans Not Need?" Written by Julia Craven, published February 13, 2025. Evolution left us with some organs and functions we no longer need. This article begins with a photo. Its caption reads, "Once considered vestigial, the appendix may play an essential role in gut health." Our bodies are like museums of evolution. We walk on 2 legs because a common ancestor evolved to do so millions of years ago. And, like any showroom, we house organs and functions that have outlived their original purpose. Take the appendix, for example. Once a heavyweight in digesting a plant-heavy diet, it was dismissed by evolutionary scientist Charles Darwin, who wrongly decided it was no longer necessary due to dietary shifts. Wisdom teeth helped early humans gnaw through raw roots and tough meats, but today they're little more than an expensive dental complication, since our food is more processed. Even goosebumps, once a handy way to fluff up body hair for warmth or protect against predators, are now seen as little more than a fleeting moment of aesthetic drama. So why do most of us still have these body parts and functions? It's likely because they aren't causing us any harm, explained Matthew Ravosa, the director of the Center for Functional Anatomy and Evolution at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Even though they may not present an advantage, the lack of disadvantage reduces the natural selection pressures that typically eliminate traits within a population. Some of these features have been co-opted or repurposed for a different function due to evolutionary changes in environment, behavior, or selective pressures. Quote, "The appendix is a good example of that," unquote, added Ravosa. Once considered vestigial, the appendix may play an essential role in gut health, helping the immune system fight pathogens. It contains a high concentration of immune tissue and houses beneficial bacteria that repopulate the gut microbiome after an illness or antibiotic use. This understanding has challenged the long-held belief that an appendix is a redundant organ. Quote, "Sometimes redundancy has a way of showing up under certain conditions. They're not truly redundant," unquote, said Michael Snyder, director of the Snyder Lab at Stanford University. Quote, "Going back to the appendix, it's been suggested that it does have a use," unquote. It's not well understood what's truly vestigial and what body parts may still be functioning, albeit in a different way. Still, we are beginning to see people born without some body parts commonly understood to be pointless. Studies have shown that around 35% of the population are now born without wisdom teeth. Lucky. The palmaris longus, a tendon in the forearm present in some but absent in others, once aided in climbing and gripping, but is now functionally irrelevant. Research has shown that a small percentage of the population is even born without it, and not having the muscle doesn't affect grip strength in any significant way. Since evolution is ongoing, could we be on the verge of shedding more parts as our diets, medical interventions, and technology advance? As is often the case with future-oriented scientific questions, the answer is that no one really knows. Quote, "There's no indication that we have any idea about what the future has in store for us because the pace at which technology is changing and that might be affecting evolution is so great, and it's a lot less predictable than one would think," unquote, explained Ravosa. Quote, "We're learning about vestigial organs largely by looking backward," unquote, he added. Quote, "We'll have to just sit around and see because we can't predict the future," unquote. This story is part of Popular Science's Ask Us Anything series, where we answer your most outlandish, mind-burning questions, from the ordinary to the off-the-wall. Have anything you always wanted to know? Ask us. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's material from Popular Science magazine. I'm Michael Piotrasch, and I'll be back soon with more interesting articles. Thank you for listening.